The Word of God comes to us tonight in Luke chapter 14. I'm going to read verses 12 through 24, but at the beginning of the message I will refer to some of the earlier verses as well, but the text for the sermon is Luke 14, 12 through 24, so let's all give attention to this, the Word of our Lord. He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When one of those who reclined at table with them heard these things, he said, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my banquet.'" The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask now that you would come and give us understanding of your word. We want to believe what you have said and live happily under your kind and generous rule. We want to grow in faith and in holiness. What we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us, for the glory of your name. Amen. Everybody loves a feast. Good food, nice company, interesting conversation. What's not to love about being with friends and sharing a meal? And who is surprised when they read in Scripture all the food images that picture the gospel? You heard one already this evening in your call to worship. "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food." John 6:27, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Those are the words of Jesus. Many times he described himself and his work in rich culinary terms. "I am the bread of life. Come to me all who thirst." Whenever we take the communion meal, we feast upon Christ by faith, don't we? That's the language we use, and it's good language. That is what we do. And what did the angel tell John to write down? Revelation 19:9. "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Luke 14 records three food stories. One historical account of a dinner party, and two parables about dinner parties that Jesus told while he was at the party. So lessons about parties told at a party. The lessons he gave were full of reproof and were no doubt shocking to those who heard them. To the host, to one particular guest, and to all the guests who were there. Let's take a look at the scene and then give attention to the second parable. Look with me and see these three things. An awkward moment, a generous invitation, and a shocking exclusion. That's the outline for the message. So first, an awkward moment. Jesus was eating at the home of an important man, a ruler of the Pharisees. Other guests were there, some Pharisees, some lawyers, perhaps others were present. They were there to dine, but they were also there to see Jesus. Not merely to visit with him, but to check him out. They were watching him carefully. It's there in verse 1. And I think you know that when people watched Jesus carefully, they watched so that they could catch him doing something they believed ought not to be done. It was the Sabbath, and a man afflicted with dropsy was there. We call that condition edema now. He was there near Jesus, but I doubt that he was an honored guest because Jesus will later tell the ruler to invite the sick and not wealthy friends and relatives. Perhaps this needy man was there as a trap. Guests wondered as they watched, what was Jesus going to do? Would he heal this man on the Sabbath and violate the fourth commandment? But healing the sick does not violate the commandment. That's what Jesus taught, any more than rescuing a fallen son or even an ox. Jesus healed the man and he dismissed him. The host was silent. The guests were silent. They had no reply. Verse 6. Then Jesus told a parable to the guests to teach them not to seek places of honor. You can see that parable in verses 7 through 11. He saw them choosing the best seats, and so he told them not to do it. It's better to take a low place and be invited to move up than to take an honored position and be told to move down. Jesus was not one for small talk, at least not at this dinner party. He saw things. He addressed things. People who heard him were speechless and no doubt very uncomfortable. And there's more, verse 12. He also said to the man who had invited him, so this is the host, important man, ruler of the Pharisees, here are his words. When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. What a gutsy thing to say to his host. Jesus told him not to invite the very people he had invited, people who were there, listening to his words. Don't be concerned about returns in this life. Inviting people close to you or people of means will provide those returns, but you're not to seek them. Bless the needy. Invite the despised. Be generous toward the poor with no thought of repayment. That's what Jesus was teaching. The rewards will come when the just are raised. But you do what is right now and be patient as you wait for what is coming. What a shocking thing for a dinner guest to say. This is the awkward moment. Imagine being there, hearing the insightful and penetrating words of Jesus. I wonder how long that moment was. The next words spoken were those of another guest. And here are the words. It's verse 15. You can see them. Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. What? Was he even listening? Did he not get the force of what Jesus was saying? He did not. And we know he didn't because of these next words. Let's not miss them. Verse 16. But he, that is Jesus, but he said to him. The parable of the great banquet, as we sometimes call it, was delivered to him. It was Jesus' response to his comment. And through him it was told to the other guests. Bread will be served in the kingdom, but there will be people who will not eat it. It will not be a blessed day for them. Now let's take up this generous invitation, and it is generous, very generous. The host in the parable invited a lot of people to a feast, and then he had food prepared for those that he was sure would come. When the feast was ready and everything in place, the second notice went out. Now's the time. The food is prepared. Come and get it. The guests wouldn't come. They gave reasons, but they weren't good ones. I bought a field and I've got to check it out. I bought some animals, I need to inspect them. I have a wife now, I can't come. All fine things to do, but they were terrible reasons to miss a feast that was carefully prepared for them. They were offensively weak excuses. They just didn't want to come. Surely the dinner guests who were listening to the story felt the insult as Jesus described these responses. The servant reported it back to the master, and the master became angry. The people blew him off with no regard for the investment that he had made for their comfort. All the effort to provide generously for them, wasted. Unfortunately, I understand this, having once offended a host in a similar way. I think some of you know that I lived for a time in a region in Uganda called Karamoja, the poorest part of one of the poorest countries in the world. The Karamojong people are hospitable and generous, and they love to prepare food for guests, sometimes at considerable cost to themselves. Early in my time there, I stopped by a friend's house and I wanted to collect something. I told him I was coming. I did not tell him I was staying, but he assumed I would be there for quite a while, and he and his family prepared accordingly. So there I was with a couple of my kids looking at this enormous spread of amazing food prepared just for us. I was in a hurry, and I really had to leave. A concept, by the way, unknown to Karamojong people, I came to discover. No one is ever in a hurry, and no one ever feels pressure to leave anywhere. There might be a lesson for us there. I don't know. Anyway, I thanked him, apologized, and I took off for the next thing. That was really bad form. I later learned how offensive that was, and made another apology to this family who in time became very close, treasured friends. We enjoyed each other around many meals after that. So things did work out. But this is how I learned to accept all generous invitations. In Karamoja, you don't refuse hospitality even if it's inconvenient to accept it, especially when food is prepared just for you. I don't know what my friend did with all the food. Maybe he brought in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame to his table. I don't know. The host in the parable sent someone to do just that. Done. But there was still room. So the broadest possible invitation went out. Everybody come. Anyone, you are welcome. You come. I will be host to a lavish feast. I want a full house today. There is a tragic end line in verse 24, but before we get there, think for a moment about God's generous welcome to the world. I'm sure you all know that this parable is not really about food, as much as we all love to eat. It's about God inviting people into his home. The invitation is sincere, and it is universal. Preparations have been made. All are now welcome to enter the fellowship of God's family through faith in Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. I think you all agree. Do you think much about the welcome of God? You should. Do you extend that welcome, that invitation to people you see? Do you love being part of God's family? I know you do. Isn't it wonderful being a child of the living God? I hope you say, I love being a Christian. I am so glad that I have a Savior who loves me, gave his life for me, is present with me, makes promises to me, helps me, provides for me, protects me, guides me, and will one day bring me to heaven, a place of never-ending joy and fellowship with Jesus and with all his people. I am so happy that I am Christ's and that Christ is mine. Do you say that? Do you want others to join the family? Do you want God to have a bigger family? Do you want the world to enjoy the feast? We're all feasting at Christ's table. We're doing it right now, actually, as we join our hearts and our voices in praise and prayer and attention to the promises and commands of Scripture. It's a feast. Life with Jesus Christ is a feast. Worship is a feast, a generous banquet hosted by our Savior. Not that life is easy and comfortable. It's filled with trials. We all know it. We all feel it. Jesus promised that there would be trials. It's never good to pretend that all is well when sin and suffering persist. But there's no need to pretend. Life is hard. Pain is real. And some troubles never go away in this life. And we all need to learn how to speak honestly about this to ourselves, to God in our prayers, to others as well, all the while longing for the resurrection of the just, when all things will be made right, when we will see Jesus and be like him, 1 John 3:2, and we will spend eternity joyfully worshiping our Savior with all the saints. But life in this age is hard, and that's why we need Jesus. And hallelujah, we have him. We have him. Jesus is our brother and is not ashamed to say it. That's Hebrews 2:11. A brother who never fails us. And you, brothers and sisters of Trinity Church, Jesus is there for you always. He listens to you. He never mocks you. He does not reject you. He loves your prayers and always welcomes you into his presence. Do you believe that? You must believe it. I love how one preacher put it. Jesus is a friend who always lets you in and never lets you down. It's true. This is all delicious food, isn't it? All the blessings that belong to us because we belong to Christ. We need food, and Jesus feeds us. Generously and abundantly, he feeds us. Here's how J.C. Ryle put it in his comments on this parable. There's nothing that sin-laden hearts can wish or weary consciences require which is not spread before men in rich abundance in Christ. This is how we should understand the mission of the church. Jesus has welcomed us into the home of his Father. We serve so that others would receive his welcome. Here's how one writer put it. The Christian mission is nothing more or less than our participation in the hospitality of God. Listen again to verse 23. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. That's strong language. Compel them. Not force them or drag them, but urge them, persuade them, invite them, and surely welcome them. The master's house must be filled with hungry souls, ready to eat and drink and be satisfied. The food is ready. There's room at the table. Compel them to come in. The gospel invitation is broad and generous. While there is time, there is hope for the world. But there will not always be time. And while all are invited, not all will accept the invitation. So let's move to the tragic end of the text and a shocking exclusion of those who dismiss the invitation of Christ. Remember that the parable is Jesus' response to the guest who said these words, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. You can almost hear the tone. What a day that'll be, right? We'll be there, we'll eat, we'll be blessed. That's what he thought. Not so fast. There will be people who imagine themselves there, but will be excluded because they rejected God's welcome. So the invitation to come is generous. It is also urgent. The hospitality of God is serious stuff. There's a lot at stake. Here's the chilling concluding sentence, verse 24. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my banquet. Jesus is warning his own people in this parable, the Jews who were privileged in so many ways and yet trusted in their privilege and not in the one whom God sent to save them. That's true. They were invited. Preparations were made. The Son of God came, but they did not believe. He came to his own, John 1:11, and his own people did not receive him. But there is a broader view in the parable as well. We're living right now in the age of invitation. Christ's atoning work is finished, and this invitation continues. And it extends to everyone. The warning extends to everyone as well. There are people in our day who think things are well when they are not. Or they think things are lousy but have no idea how to cope with the problems of this world or the trials they face. They are feeding on ideas and patterns of conduct that seem to satisfy, but they do not. They are making a wretched choice, as the hymn goes, and rather starve than come. They are starving while they lay aside the invitation to feast. And it is your privilege to invite them to come and eat. Taste and see that the Lord is good, Psalm 34. Listen diligently to Jesus and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the word that has come to us tonight. Help us to live by it, to love your fellowship, to long for a growing harvest, and to make known the delights that come with faith in Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.